You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to invite you along with me to consider that Ash Wednesday is the church's effort to pen a love letter to the church. Ash Wednesday is the church's effort to pen a love letter to the church, and I think we can agree it would be a curious one, to say the least. But the intent is there, and I would say the substance is too. We, as human beings, all of us, regardless of who we are, we long for relationships. We long for deep and abiding connections. We long for love and for closeness and for connection. These are things which are part of who we are and what we long for. And yet we often, in the world's economy, go about this in ways which are basically if-then. If we do this, then you'll receive this in response. It's transactional. It is performative in one way or another. And as we read through not just Matthew's gospel, but through the entirety of the gospel witness, there is an invitation to live by a wonderfully, dramatically different economy, a wonderfully freer economy. I remember hearing years ago a man describing his early year in marriage, and this is the time before cell phones, and so he was making the transitions, understanding what it was like to live in relationship with another person, not just curved in upon himself. And he said one day he left work, as he typically did, and he happened to wander by a bookstore that was one of his favorites. It was an old bookstore, and he went in, and as he often did, and just found himself looking through all the books, and a good deal of time passed. When he finally arrived home, his wife asked him where he had been, and it was sort of like a realization, like, oh, it's not just me. There's someone else that I need to be in communication with, in relationship with, thinking beyond just myself. And he shared another thing, that one of the things that he would do when he would come home is he would sit down on the side of the bed, and he would kick his shoes off into the closet. Kick his shoes off into the closet, and they would land with a thump, and they would make a mark on the wall inside the closet. And it came to find out it drove his wife crazy, that particular thing. And he thought he should get a reward for putting his shoes in the closet, that he should be recognized for his good work. But it turns out that when he would kick his shoes off, it would make that thump, and it would make a mark in the closet, and he thought, it's a closet. Who is seeing that? But then he, again, came to realize, well, as silly as I may think this is, this has an impact on her. And he said this. He said he made himself a sign because he had difficulty remembering. He said, I made myself a sign, and this is literally what it said. Stupid, stop kicking your shoes off into the closet. Well, you may remember there's a wonderful quote from Flannery O'Connor. And she writes this: when you can assume that your audience holds the same beliefs as you do, you can relax a little and use more normal means of talking to it. When you have to assume that it does not, then you have to make your vision apparent by shock. To the hard of hearing, you shout, and for the almost blind, you draw large and startling figures. You may remember hearing that before. To the almost blind, you draw large and startling figures. To the hard of hearing, you shout. What I would say is today is a large sign. It's a startling figure. It's a shout because we have a hard time hearing, because we have a hard time seeing. And as I say all of that, let me say quite clearly and unmistakably that God's love for us, our salvation, are purely by grace. They are not things that we earn by our best efforts, by our actions, by the way we live. These are strictly a gift which are given to us by grace. But we all experience the way that we live in relationship with other people can affect that relationship. We can draw us closer. It can push us farther away. And the invitation to you and to me is the realization that we can miss out on the amazing gifts and security and love and closeness and fellowship that we long for. Those things are available to you and to me. And yet, we are flawed and broken creatures, so it's easy for us to lose our way. It's easier for us to look to find these things and what we can consume and credit and fame and possessions and status, consumption, whatever it might be. It's easy for us to get swept up, to get off track, to begin to lose our way. I remember hearing what I think is a fabulous description of our desire for status, and the description was given that status is spending money we don't have to purchase things we don't want to please people we don't like. I think that's fairly accurate, and the same thing can be true for practicing our piety. We want to be seen as holy and righteous by people we don't like. It works out in the church circle just as well as it does in the social circles as well. And yet, we hear a wonderful, gracious word of good news this evening. We hear a shout. We see a startling figure. We see a large sign. Paul would describe it in this way, and Jesus would say often that God so loved the world, that the Son of Man came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Jesus would say startling things. Jesus would do startling things in the way that his love and his grace went forth into the world. But Paul, the apostle, wonderfully captures it as he writes to the Ephesians. He says this, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Paul begins by those startling words that we were dead in transgressions. We weren't caught, we weren't suffering, we weren't straining, we were dead. And God, who is rich in mercy, came to make us alive. The wonderful gospel provocateur Robert Capon wrote at one point, God can do nothing with your life, but he can do everything with your death, because he is a God of death and resurrection. Ash Wednesday invites us to go down to the ashes, and that's a good and glorious place to be, for God does not leave us there. God is a God of death and resurrection. God is a God who sees you and me who are dead in sins and trespasses, and because of the richness and the abundance of his mercy, gives us the startling sign of the cross, of his sacrificial death for you and for me, and the even more startling sign of his resurrection. I invite you along with me to go down to the dust, for it is in that place that we find God's new creation as he makes us new. From our death, by the riches of his mercy, he gives us life. And as we hear that this day, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that you so startlingly come into the world. You offer yourself. You go down to the dust and come up again. Draw us, most gracious God, down into the dust that we might be raised, that we might be made new. By the grace and mercy of Jesus, your Son, in whose name I pray. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.